The Kinks are acknowledging their 50th anniversary with the 5-disc Kinks anthology of their music released by Pi Records between 1964 and 1971. Our guest today in the first part of a 2-part interview is Ray Davies, the singer, rhythm guitarist, and main songwriter for The Kinks, a band he formed with his younger brother Dave Davies. They started as a band in 1963 in London, disbanded in 1996. As we begin our transatlantic conversation, I remarked to Davies that the anthology with the notes of recording sessions when they happened, the whole chronology, made it more clear how hard and fast the band were working in the early days.
I think we were surprised. Success, You Really Got Me. No one thought You Really Got Me would be a hit except us. And I think when it went to number one, it went to number one in England within a few weeks. It was American, I think a top 10 in America. I think they tried to capitalize on it as quickly as they could because they thought we wouldn't last very long. I think there was an element of that opportunistic capital, you know, sort of taking advantage of the while the band's hot, which is fine, it's fair enough, but we just kept going. And what's amazing me is the diversity of the material we presented.
Absolutely. And yeah.
I think if we hadn't been diverse, I mean, switching from You Really Got Me to things like Well Respected Man, it couldn't have lasted because I wouldn't have been interested enough to write songs. It's a journey of creation as well. You Really Got Me was probably the 5th song I ever wrote. Never thought I'd write many songs. So it's exploration, learning how to write songs and be sort of involved in it and in interacting with the subject matter and being interested enough in it. So I had to find things that interested me to write about. And I was fortunate being with a great band, a very, very supportive band. And in many respects, a record company, I think they understood what we were doing.
Mm-hmm.
To a degree, but it was primarily singles oriented.
Well, you had a couple of singles before You Really Got Me, which didn't do much. How did you feel about those? I heard something. It was you only had a 3-single deal, and were you kind of under the gun?
Oh yes, of course. It was a 3-single deal. The first 2 flopped. Our second single was the first song of mine that the band covered called You Still Want Me. It was clear that nobody did. but I love the song. We've just done a musical called Sunny Afternoon in England, and the first song in the show is You Still Want Me, and it comes over really well. But that's another issue. But the third single had to be a hit, otherwise we would have been dropped. And I had this song, You Really Got Me. And the record company didn't think much of it. They didn't like it. We recorded it once, and they said we're putting it out, and I hated it. And it was a tremendous battle to try to get us to even re-record it. In the end, we put not an injunction, we didn't grant a mechanical license for them to put it out, and they reluctantly allowed us in the studio if we paid for the session time, studio time. So we agreed to do that, and lo and behold, we ended up with the way we wanted it to sound. With a fine producer, Shel Talmy, on board. But Shel listened to what we wanted. Because we wanted it to sound live. That's the way we felt the record should sound. And there's that live element to it. And, of course, the rest is, I guess, history.
And here it is. You Really Got Me.
You really got me. side. Girl, you really got me now. You got me so I can't sleep at night. Yeah, you really got me now. You got me so I don't know what I'm doing, man. Oh yeah, you really got me now. You got me so I can't sleep at night. You really got me. You really got me. You really got me.
You really got me. That's where our Kinks, the anthology story begins today. That, of course, from 1964, one of the resounding notes in the history of rock and roll. A song that's been recorded more than once. Can you live with the other recordings of it, the covers?
Not very. Oh, the other recordings of it. I think the Van Halen version. What's great about the Van Halen record is that it started their career same as it started our career, and I think they took it up to a slightly different key, which gave it that thrash metal sound. And I love Van Halen's version of it. I remember when we first heard the Van Halen record, people thought it was their song, and the Kinks were on tour and we played our version and they said, oh, you're playing a Van Halen song. So that was kind of a backhanded compliment.
Well, speaking of covers, one thing that's apparent from the anthology is you covered a lot of our R&B, and you particularly covered a lot of Chuck Berry. Were you all particular fans of him?
I think apart from his guitar playing, which was a great thing about his music, and the great players, the great jazz players even, and the great blues musicians, is they're not afraid to make mistakes. It's all about the feel. And his playing appealed to me because of that. I also believe he's one of the great unsung, unheralded poets in American lyric writing. You know, it's only my take on it, but a song like Memphis, Tennessee is about wanting to see a daughter. You know, that's the impression I get.
Oh, yeah.
It's a family issue. And to come up with lyrics like that is fantastic. And I just think is the percussive elements to his singing and writing, very inspirational to me.
We're talking with Ray Davies about the Kinks, the anthology covering the years from 1964 to 1971, and some call that the Golden Kinks era. And it's interesting because a large part of that time they were unable to tour here in the U.S., so it makes its music that much more exotic. Ray, I wanted to skip ahead to, as you mentioned, how the sound of what you wrote changed all the time. And even a year after that, when A Well-Respected Man came out, very, very different.
'Cause he gets up in the morning, and he goes to work at 9, and he comes back home at 5:30, gets the same train every time. 'Cause his world is built on punctuality. And he's all so good, and he's all so fine, and he's all so healthy in his body and his mind. He's a well-respected man about town, doing the best thing so conservatively.
It's credited here to the quiet Kinks sessions. Now, how did this come about? Because obviously you were getting a name for this harder rock.
It was quiet, spelt with a K, of course.
Right.
Very good marketing strategy. I think what it was, Well Respected Man came, as you say, left field. It was meant to be just a track that we did at the end of a session. No one expected it to do anything. But it's almost recorded. It's the first recording we did of it. And it suddenly became an EP. And the EP was called Quiet Kinks, and it became one of the biggest selling EPs in, at that time, popular music history. And I'm not sure if it came out as an EP in America, but it went in, you know, the top 20 in America, much to our surprise. Because, as you say, the Kinks were not able to tour America, And it's complete shock to a lot of people that the same band that recorded All Down All the Night could have done something as lyrical as Well Respected Man, which is a commentary sung in, also in an English accent. At the time of the British invasion, it was almost unheard of to sing in an English accent, but Well Respected Man proved that it could be done and be successful in America. We probably owe a lot of that success to Dick Van Dyke and Mary Poppins.
this was one of the songs, and everything we've been talking about so far was one of the ones you worked with Shel Talmy with. And Shel was, if people don't know, was an American producer living in London who worked with you, worked a bit with The Who, and may have suggested at one point that they try to sound like the Kinks. Tell me about him. There's a bit of a little, in fact, let's listen to it. There's a little bit of an excerpt of In the Studio with you guys and working with him. And it sounds like you have a pretty good working relationship. Let's listen to this.
Okay, man. Power of fashion.
Don't forget, fellas, go there.
They seek him here, they seek him there. His clothes are loud, but never square. It will make or break him, so he's got to buy the best, 'cause he's a dedicated follower of fashion. And when he does his little round, now the blues.
Yeah, I think it sounds better a bit slower.
Well, it was swinging before, man.
Is it? All right.
Two.
This time in the morning. One, two, one, two, three, four.
They seek him here. They seek him there.
That's a little bit of what it was like working with Shel Talmy with our guest today, Ray Davies and the Kinks. Well, maybe expand a bit on that. What was it like?
I think some of the most interesting points, the tracks are great and the alternative mixes are really good, but some of the interaction and studio talk is really one of the interesting parts about this anthology to show the work in progress. Shel was a lot of Americans were coming to England at that time because people like Phil Spector were enormously successful, and they floated around Europe and did their records, and the mix was good. He let us get on with what we were doing, and just only spoke when he really had to, and that's perfect for the Kinks because we didn't listen anyway. So, but it was a good relationship to a degree, but obviously we had with You Really Got Me an early disagreement, but he was very dignified about it and we got what we wanted. I think also the record company after You Really Got Me, because it was a bigger issue than I described, it was almost a major lawsuit because of it, because of injunctions and things. The record company tended to let us have our way. And of course, as I said earlier on, they took advantage of it while it was there. And we had some great success.
One of the songs on here is not a single, and it is included in here because it became over the years. Correct me if I'm wrong, but it was never a single. Is Stop Your Sobbing?
It was never a Kinks single, no. It was an album track. One of the first songs I wrote for the first Kinks album. Interestingly enough, it was fashionable in those days for bands, obviously by the Beatles, to do their own material all the time, and even to an extent the Rolling Stones. But our first album, the Kinks' first album, was probably equally balanced between cover songs and originals. Like I said, I thought Maybe You Really Got Me was a fluke. I wasn't interested in being a songwriter. They just came to me because I'd written a big hit. And it was a learning curve for me and a learning process writing songs. I didn't really envisage that it would go on for so long.
It is time for you to stop all of your sleeping. This is time for you to stop all of your sobbing. Mm-hmm. There's one thing you gotta do to make me still want you. Gotta stop sobbing now.
The recording sessions and the release of a lot of these singles are like a month or so apart. They really came out really, really fast. Was the writing like that really close to the sessions themselves? Something like Stop Your Sobbing, did you write that right near when you recorded it?
More or less, yeah. I by now I'd built a little reservoir of songs, you know, so it's almost completed. And by the time we got to do our first album, they were almost ready. So a lot of them were finished on studio sessions just before the session started. But talking about rapidity, You Really Got Me was the first number one, and it started to fall out the charts. So it went down to number 10, I think, from number one. And the record company said, we need another one. They'd booked a session a week after... start to drop out the charts. They said, we need a new single. I wrote all day and all of the night, actually in the publisher's office that I started it, and finished it on the road with the Kinks. We drove down the following week, recorded it in the morning, and a three-hour session starting at 10 o'clock because we had to be back up in the north of England to do a show that night. And it came out within, 2 weeks of that. They turned the record around really quickly. But that's the way it was then. There was no strategy, just get the thing out. With You Really Got Me, for example, they closed down production on all the other product they were doing at the time to focus on pressing that many records.
Wow.
It's kind of indicative of the times of how things are now. You just have to press a button to download a track. In those days, they closed the pressing plant just to concentrate on Kinks records.
Was All Day and All the Night, did you consciously try to come up with a sort of a reverse riff of what you'd done with You Really Got Me?
I wanted it to be more innovative than You Really Got Me. You Really Got Me had its own journey as a song. It changed, went up a tone after the first, where it normally in a song it would go to the from G to C. In a blues record, I took it up to A. With All Day and All of the Night, I wanted a more dramatic tension. And there's a key change. The song is in G, but it goes to B flat, to F major, then to A and sustains. There's a wonderful atonal moment in the song. It may not be a big deal to the listener, but to me it was a big step. Because for a fraction of a moment, we're all out of tune with one another. And it's that moment where it's going to be a failure or success, which adds to the tension of the song. And I find that really satisfying and gratifying.
All Day and All the Night.
I'm not content to be with you in the daytime. We'll be right back.
does leave me never.
The Kinks, All Day and All the Night, from the new Kinks anthology. The band is celebrating their 50th anniversary. More of my conversation with Ray Davies tomorrow on The Cafe. Be back in a moment on The World Cafe.